There you go. There you go. Well, we missed you. And notice that nobody said one of the good things was that you weren't here. That's a good thing. All right, you got your Bibles. Go to Numbers. This will be our last discussion out of Numbers, at least for a while. The easiest way to find Numbers is go to the very beginning of your Bible. Go to Genesis. That's the first book past the preface. Oh, I wish Monica was here. The first book past the preface is Genesis, and then you'll go to Exodus. Several pages will take you to Leviticus. And then you get to Numbers. Okay? All right, make sure we're on the same page, focused, and that the fried chicken didn't put you into a stupor. God has taught us, God's people have gone through some tough times. In the book of Numbers, they're facing some tough things. Exodus is super exciting because they're rescued from bondage. Joshua, on the other side of Numbers, is going to be terrific because they're finally going to make it home. Somewhere between the rescue and the home, somewhere between the salvation and the celebration, somewhere between the beginning of their new life and the final resting place of their new life, they got to take a hike. And they have to walk 40 years through a wilderness, and they have some tough times. Name some of the tough things. Now, don't pick on them. Just tell me some of the tough things they had to face. And we're not used to this, so I understand. But you've had chicken. It's the supper of champions and geniuses. So tell me, what are some of the tough things they had?
Thirst.
Man, they're out in the wilderness. They're out in the desert. It's going to be hot, and it's going to be thirsty. They needed something to drink. What else? They were hungry for food, and then the food they had to eat the same food over and over again. Philip? They had to eat manna with no butter. All right? They had all kinds of... What other kind of problems did they have?
Snakes.
They had snakes. What else did they have? Oh, man. There were people dying. Major numbers of people dying every day because of... I almost said the answer, and I don't want to give you the answer. They had lots of things going, folks. They had lots of trouble. The weather had to be a trouble. The walking had to be a trouble. Keeping up with your kids and all those people, that had to be a trouble. Where finding a place to tent, finding a place to use the restroom, finding a trait to clean up. There's all kinds of trouble they had, right? Now, because they had all that kind of trouble, though, the truth is they brought more trouble on themselves than they had in their life. What trouble did they bring on themselves? They grumbled and complained about bread that God gave them from heaven. Butter or not, that is a major deal, right? They complained about not having water, but God turned a rock into a river of water. They complained of not having any meat, and God gave them enough meat for it to come out their nose. They complained about being in a desert, and yet God was with them the whole time and giving them direction on how to get from the bondage to the promised land. What else did God do for them? Or what else did they bring on themselves?
They got involved with the women.
Yeah. That last thing we talked about. They got involved with some women doing things they shouldn't have been doing, and that caused them to do some things with gods, other gods that they shouldn't have been doing, and God had enough of that business. Now, does it sound familiar? Hang on. Does it sound familiar? We go through some tough things in life, don't we? That we have absolutely no control of, honest. You don't get to choose your family. You don't get to choose your race. You don't get to choose your language. You don't get to choose your country. You don't get to choose what school you go to. You just, all of a sudden, you're in the world and you are at the mercy of a lot of different circumstances. There are some tough things in this old world, period. But does it sound familiar that a bunch of the trouble they had, they brought on themselves? Anybody in here want to admit it? Anybody here willing to admit it? That most of the trouble that I've had to deal with, that you've had to deal with in your life, came not because I lived in the world, but because of the choices I made while I was in the world. Folks, that's the truth in my life. That is the truth in my life. I had tough things happen in my life, but most of the tough things that happened, the absolute worst things that have happened in my life, I did to myself. That's what happened to these folks. So in this walk we call life, in this journey from salvation to celebration, in that journey, what do we have to remember? Just keep walking. There's going to be tough times. Sometimes it's a tough times that you have nothing to do with. We got folks sitting in this room right now. I won't tell you who. That's their call, okay, if they want to share that with you. But there are people sitting in this room right now that have tough things to deal with that they have absolutely no control over at all. Now, are they somewhere connected maybe to decisions in the past? Yeah. But sometimes we deal with tough decisions that we have nothing to do with. We have to face the consequences of somebody else's mess, not just ours. Sometimes there are tough things that go on in this. And there are people in this room that understand that. There's others of us in this room that have made decisions and just made them in just the last few weeks, in the last few days, maybe in the last few hours, that have put us in a bind. And it can be financially, emotionally, spiritually. We put ourselves in a bind, and it is tough to get through that. But whether it's the world we live in that's causing us trouble or the world we've created for ourselves to live in, what do you do? How do you get from salvation to celebration? How do you get from rescue to rest? What do you do? Just keep walking. Now, while you keep walking, there's some things to remember. What's one of the things to remember that you learned from Numbers? It's the simple lesson. What is it, Darla?
Thank God for what you have.
Thank God for what you have. Number two?
Let's
see, they're helping you. You got them started. Ask God for what you want and
trust
God for what you need. Folks, I'm serious. If you can hang on to that, it'll simplify your life in some ways you cannot imagine. It will calm you down. It'll give you direction. Just start. Just start thanking God for what you have, and it will change the way you're looking at what you're dealing with. All of a sudden, it's not nearly as bleak, not nearly as dark, not nearly as bad. There, God is with you, and it's going to be proven by those things you thank God for. And then just start. I dare you. I double dog dare you. And for my world, that's the biggest thing you could do as a kid. I double dog dare you. Start making a list. Start making a list today of things that you want to ask God and write them down when you ask for them. Write down a date and then ask. Start asking. And I mean specific. Be specific what you're asking for. And start making a list. And then when God starts answering, don't you forget it. Don't you ignore it. No. You note it and say thank you to God for it and put a date when you got it. And you're going to notice God was there all along. God has been doing things. God's been answering your prayers that you weren't even praying. God's been doing things for you didn't even know He was doing. All right, Francis?
Yesterday, it started out a real bad morning. I was running late, and I got up late. And then I took off. I left my phone in my lunch room. So I had to turn back and go back. I got picked it up. And then I forgot my cup, too. I forgot that, so I have to go. I was going to go buy me some. I didn't even have change in my pocket. And I have to use out of my $10 that I had, but I was going to forget it. That's what I used to get. And I'm like, really? Really? And then when I got home, when I got to the office, my boss, she's my friend. We talk about God all the time. I go to her office and, you know, tell her, what is God to say? You know, trust God, He loves us. Well, she bought me a little plaque, and I have it on my desk, and it says, God, remind me that there's nothing that'll go by today that we can't, together we can't handle.
There you go.
And I looked at that, and I read it, and I'm like, all right, I understand, I heard you, Lord. And, I mean, it was like, it's okay. The rest of that day was awesome. I thought it started out going to end that way.
What do you do when you have one of those kind of days? What do you do?
Keep walking.
Just keep walking. And thank God for what you have. Ask God for what you want. Trust God for what you need. I dare you to try it. And watch what happens. Watch what changes.
Go on.
Guys, and I got to tell you, that there's the truth, all right? God keeps his own calendar, right? He's not a bellhop. You don't ding on the little bell, ding, 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 and God show up. No, sometimes he's there before you ever ding. Sometimes he come right when you ding. And sometimes he waits in his good time because he knows what's best for you. And I dare you to write it down. Write it down. Be specific. Now none of this, and there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord bless us. There's nothing wrong with saying it. But honest, I dare you to do something more than this, Lord bless. Be real specific. Sometimes blessing is like pulling up to McDonald's and when they said, can we help you? And you say, I want food. No, you don't say you want food. You say, yeah, whatever, yeah. I want food. Well, what do you want? Food. And that's what we do with God sometimes. Bless me. Well, what do you want? Bless me. Well, what do you want? Bless me. I dare you to be specific. Be real specific and say, here's what I want. Here's what I want. Here's what I want. Now, don't you do it until you thank God for what you have. And then you tell God what you want. But then keep a list of it. Now, and what you'll have to do, and like Linda did, if you keep it written down and then go back through it, it could be days later, could be weeks later, could be months, years later. Linda just said 2 years. Guys, I'm telling you. I met Dwayne Culpepper in 1981, January. I remember. I know exactly when I met him. First time he ever cut my hair. And I started then praying for him. I invited him to come to church where I went. He didn't respond. Was not mean, but he didn't respond. I then later began to preach at that church, and so I asked him again. We were good friends. We shared things together. When he went through tough times, he let me know. When I went through tough times, I let him know. We were friends. And we just talk and chat and stuff. And then 25 years later, he calls me and says, hey man, can you tell me about that church? I had stopped praying the prayer. Thank God, God had not stopped answering the prayer, right? And I talked to him today, and he is feeling better, and I thank God for that. And it's just a kind of a bonus that his grandson's sitting here. And his friends sitting next to him, and they became Christians and started their walk with Jesus just a few weeks ago. Is that not good stuff? Keep praying. All right, now, I wish we had time for more lessons because I love to hear Darla teach numbers. But we've got to get to this next one. I do, Darla. I love hearing you talk about Jesus and about what you're learning. Look at Deuteronomy. Look in Numbers 32. Do not trust my judgment. Numbers 32. Folks, I don't know if any of this is going to make any sense to you at all. There's some of us who've been going to church all our lives. Old John was standing right there next to Moses when he crossed the Red Sea. I can't say much because I was there with Joshua when he crossed into the Jordan. So both of us been around a long time. But for those of us who grew up going to Bible classes and having teachers show us the Bible map, and those teachers using those flannel grass figures on those Bible maps to teach us the Bible, I'm grateful for every one of them. For those of you who are just now learning to read your Bible, do not let this worry you, but you need to at least see it so you'll understand what he's doing. In Genesis 32, okay? What'd I say? Did you hear that? Oh, I forgot, didn't I? Today is Wednesday, July the 17th, 2013. I can't say I'm not senile because I've proved it twice now. All right, listen to me. Regardless of what I say later, we're in Numbers. Numbers 32. You turn anywhere else, it's your fault. I don't care what I say. You do not trust anything that comes out of my mouth that you can't verify with God's Word. All right? Now, whether you're studying Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, this is the way it looked like for them. All right? There was this big sea called the Mediterranean Sea. There was this river that ran north. It's called the Nile River. This is Egypt. Over here is that Red Sea. Looked like bunny ears. Here's the Red Sea that they crossed. Moses crossed on dry ground. Did y'all hear the trumpet? I thought the Lord was coming.
Didn't hear anything, sir.
Shut up. Down here is a mountain. Was that the trumpet or somebody's indigestion? Oh, your phone. Okay. I started to go, pardon me. I didn't. All right.
I'll let the children come
though. No. I love it. At least he wasn't playing Jesus Take the Wheel or whatever Francis phone plays.
Especially frogs when it's turned down, they rivet. Whatever.
We'd have thought we were back in Egypt. All right, let's go ahead. Okay, now, here's the Red Sea. Here's Mount Sinai where Moses went and got the Ten Commandments. Over here's the Sea of Galilee that eventually Jesus is going to walk on water. This is the Jordan River where Jesus is going to be baptized. Here's two rivers up here, Tigris and Euphrates. This is a place called Ur, where this is where Abraham comes from. We've looked at all those. Here's what you need to know. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. All right? When Abraham moved to this land, his folks decided to move down to Egypt. They moved down to Egypt to survive, and God saved them down there. But then they got to be a great nation down here and got in trouble, became slaves, started crying to God. God said, I'm going to send Moses, let him take you. He brought them out of Egypt, remember the 10 plagues, crossed the Red Sea, baptized Moses, right? They went to Moses, got the 10 commandments. They started walking for 40 years. That's the book of... Say it, please. One more time. Numbers. All right, this is the book of Numbers, and our lesson is just keep walking. Now, eventually they will come around, the people will come around to right here, east of the Jordan River, all right, and they're getting ready to enter into the land, all right? Some of the tribes, this, right in here, this section in here, east of the Mediterranean, west of the Jordan, for those of you who are directionally challenged, right of the Mediterranean and left of the Jordan, all right? That's the promised land. That's what the Bible calls the promised land. It's called the promised land because God promised it, all right? Now, they're about to enter into this land, and here's how it's going to happen. In the book of Joshua, you're going to read it. They step in the Jordan River, it dries up, they're going to march around this town called Jericho, and it's going to collapse. It's a great story. We'll do that when we get to Joshua. But right now, some of the people of the 12 tribes, remember the 12 sons of Jacob? There's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Those tribes of people, those kids had a bunch of kids, and there's 12 tribes of people making their way through the wilderness. They make their way right here, and some of those tribes decide they want to stay on this side, on the east side. They don't want to go into the promised land, they want to stay on the east side. They don't want to go to the west side. And that's what this story is, so get ready. The Reubenites and the Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community, and said, all of those names. And there, I got that one, Nebo. I got him. And Beon. Shut up, Rex. Just read. The land of the Lord, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Now stop a second. Stop a second. Their request sounds reasonable, doesn't it? It's a good request. We've got lots of flocks. We've got lots of pasture on this side of the Jordan. Let us take this land. That'll leave more for you folks when you go in. And don't make us cross the Jordan. What's the problem with that? Think it through. What's the problem with that? God promised this land. Now they're wanting this one. What's the problem with that? It's not what God's will is. All right? Anybody else? Okay, let's keep reading. Now Moses said to the Gadites and the Reubenites, see, we don't think like this, so it doesn't click with us. We've never had to go to war. We've not had to go to war to possess our lands. But he said, shall your countrymen go to war while you sit here? Ah. So you want your possession here without any kind of fight, and your brothers are going to go in without you to fight for this land. This is what... Why do you discourage the Israelites from going over into the land the Lord has given them? Now, do you remember the last report they got about this land? What's the last thing we heard, remember? What's the last... It was at the very first of Numbers. What was the last thing we heard about this promised land? They got great grapes, big old honking grapes, but they got some big old honking people too. And they're scared, and they make us look like grasshoppers. So they've been for 40 years, the ones that were afraid, too afraid to go in, have been wandering around here in the wilderness and dying. Now this bunch of yahoos says, we'll stay over here and let y'all go in and fight. Right? And Moses said, what? You're going to let your brothers go in and you're going to discourage them from taking? Because could they all have stayed over here? Yeah, they could all stayed over there. They were already over there. They could all stay there. But that's not what God promised. Keep reading. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. That's when they thought about the grasshopper deal. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land that the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and He swore this oath, because they have not followed Me wholeheartedly, and you ought to underline that word wholeheartedly. It comes up so many times in the Bible, we ought to pay attention to it. This old half-hearted, lukewarm, so-so kind of attitude about the Lord never cuts it. He wants wholeheartedness. Not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one except Caleb, son of that guy, and Joshua, son of Nun, though he was son of one. He was the son of Nun. For they followed the Lord. Underline it. How'd they follow the Lord? Wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and He made them wander in the desert 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in His sight was gone. Now stop a second. How did God see the people that discouraged His people from taking what He promised? Let's look at verse 13. This one's not hard. How does God view anybody discouraging anybody else from serving the Lord wholeheartedly? He gets angry and He calls it evil. Now, we've got to redefine evil. For those of us who grew up going to church, evil was all those nasty things people did. When they'd dance, cuss, drink, smoke, spit, chew, and go with girls that do. Man, that's all those evil, nasty things, right? Sometimes discouraging people from serving the Lord wholeheartedly is considered evil. And that's what they did. And here you are. I didn't write this. Look at verse 14. And here you are, brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following Him, He will again leave all these people in the desert, and you will be the cause of their destruction. Do they have an answer? Their question was, oh, by the way, we'd like to stay over here. Is it okay if we stay over here? What's God's answer?
No.
Over your dead body. You get the point. Over your dead body. He's not going to let this happen again. And if they do it again, He'll leave them dying in the desert. Then they came up to Him and said, we would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children. But we are ready. Verse 17, underline it, note it, but we are ready to arm ourselves and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. These guys are not cowards. These are not discouragers. These are not the naysayers and the whiny pots and the don't do nothings and the half-hearteds. These are warriors. These are folks that let's take care of our, let us get stuff ready for our families, and then when we got our families in good shape, we will go over and go first. We'll go into this place first, and we'll bring Israel into that land. We want them to have what God promised them. We just want to know that it's okay for us to come over on this side. We will not return. I love these guys. We will not return to our homes until every Israelite has received his inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan, because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan. What do you think? What do you think? Is that okay with God? You bet you keep reading. Then Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourself before the Lord for battle, and if all you will go armed over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to the Israel. And this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Build cities for your women and children and pens for your flocks, but do what you have promised. Folks, underline that. Underline that last phrase. That last phrase is a. That's one that's got a bite to it. Hang on to that thing. Don't let go of it. Do what you have promised. The Gadites and the Reubenites said to Moses, "We, your servants, will do as our Lord commands. Our children and wives, our flocks and herds will remain here in the cities of Gilead. But your servants, every man armed for battle, will cross over to fight before the Lord, just as our Lord says." You can read the rest of it. It's basically going to repeat that. But here's what we got, folks. Here's the lesson for me. Here's the lesson for me. I walked out of bondage, rescued by the grace and power of the gospel. Grace of God and the power of Jesus. I got rescued from that sin, and I got set on a journey toward the promised land. What does God expect me to do? Keep walking. What does God expect me to do? Thank Him for what I have, ask Him for what I want, trust Him for what I need. What does God expect me to do? Not look at my past, not look at my mess, but look at His solution. Look at Him. Keep my eyes focused on Him and just keep walking. But when I get closer to that promised land, what does God expect me to do? I'll let you put it. I'm sorry? All right? He wants me to keep my promises. What does He want me to do? Keep my faith. What does He promise? What does He want me to do? Say it again. He wants me to help others make their way to the promised land. It's not about just me getting there. It's not about me just getting there. Oop, I got in. Nobody else made it. Sorry. It's not about me getting there. And folks, people in this room understand this. If you're dealing with sobriety, if you're dealing with sobriety issues, if you're dealing with any kind of addiction, if you're going to help yourself, what are you bound to do? Help somebody else. You want to learn the Bible like you've never learned it before? Help somebody else study the Bible. You want to learn how to control your temper? Help somebody learn to control theirs. And I'm not talking about you becoming some hypocritical teacher and just say, well, you need to do this and need to do that, and you don't take it to heart. No. I'm talking about wholeheartedly decide, I'm going to help my kids go to heaven. Guess one of the first things you got to do if you're going to help your kids go to heaven? You got to go. Make sure you're going to heaven. Right? You want your kids to learn how to be respectful? Then you be respectful. You want your kids to learn how to be calm and to react and keep control their tempers? They're going to have to see it in you. And the examples of this are just rippling in my brain. You want your children to receive the promises of God? Then they've got to see you receiving the promises of God. But we don't do this by ourselves, folks. And we don't do this just for ourselves. Now, having said that, let me tell you. I'm going to say it because I know how we sometimes take things extreme. Can I make anybody else's decisions for them? No. Say it again. Can I make anybody else's decisions for them?
No.
No. If they're not going to go, I can't make them go. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go. All right. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to heaven whether you do or not. Now, I want you to, and you know I want you to, and I do anything I can, everything I can to help you get there. But guess what? You decide you don't want to go? Bye. I'm going. I am going to keep, I'm not going to, and you hear me? I'm not going to let you keep me from going. I hear it. I've heard it so much in church, it just makes me sick at my stomach. I've heard it so much in church. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. And so you quit Jesus because somebody that wasn't ever like Jesus didn't act like Jesus? What did you expect of a bunch of sinners? I got a letter one time from somebody who got upset with me, and an extension of me, they got upset with us, and it was the us that was here at that time, and a bunch of you weren't here, so you're clear of their hatred. But they got upset with me because I didn't do something they wanted me to do, because I was doing something else that God wanted me to do. And it's a real big contest between, should I do what they want me to do, or should I do what God wants me to do? Ah, no brainer. I'm going to do what God wants me. Well, they got upset, and so they don't come to church anymore. They just quit. Okay, now hang on. Do I hate that? You bet I hate that. Have I tried to repair that damage? You betcha I've tried to repair that damage. Guess what? They don't want to go to heaven. Oh, I hate that. But guess what? I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I want every one of us in this room to have this kind of attitude. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I'm going to heaven whether you like it or not. Yeah. Now, having said that, do I have responsibility to my brothers? Do I have responsibility to my sisters to do what I can to help them get there? I sure do. This teaches me that it's not just me getting to the promised land that's my goal. It's me getting as many of my brothers and sisters there as I can. I don't want anybody to be discouraged by me. I don't want anybody to give up the fight because of me. I want to help every brother, every sister I got to get there. Now, if that's true, if that's what the Bible teaches, if that principle is what God is trying to teach us here, I think we'll find it in some other places, okay? So let's see if we can find it in some other places. I want you to look in Romans chapter, go to Romans. Now that's way in the New Testament. Those of you just getting started, turn all the way to the red letters. Find red letters, and when you find red letters, you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. When you hit red letters, stop. And when you hit red letters, now if your Bible doesn't have red letters, you done messed up. All right, find Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And when you find it, stop. Let me know. Where are you? Jeremy, where are you? Mark, keep going. All right, go past Mark. Go past Luke. You found the red letters yet, Stephanie? Okay. Keep going for the right. Where are you? You got it? Okay. Find Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Turn to the right, and you go past a big book called Acts. Lots of black letters. Two or three red ones, but not many. So keep going, and then you get to Romans. Now, Romans 12, just start counting your fingers and toes, and you get to Romans 12. Now, in this room, it would not surprise me if you don't have enough fingers and toes for it, but okay. Romans 12. I want you to look at verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Everybody got it. I want you to see it. I want you to mark it down. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I didn't write it. Jesus did. And He said it. I am a part of this family. Therefore, I am devoted. I am to be devoted to you in brotherly love. I'm going to do whatever I can do to show you that I'm devoted to you. I will do whatever it takes to help you get there. Now, does that mean I'm going to make the decision for you? No. Does that mean that I'm going to let you drag me down if you decide not to go? No. But I'm going to do what I can to help you get there. Be devoted to one another and brotherly love. Honor one another. Honor one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Did you hear those Reubenites and those Gadites say that? Said, we will go before them and we will make sure that they've got their place first. They put other people first. That's what it means to honor them. We put them ahead of ourselves. We put them above us. We are in a family and we need each other. And if we're serious about going from rescue to rest, then we ought to be serious about helping the rest get there. All right? In Romans, now I want you to go to the book of Galatians. All right? Now how you get to Galatians is go to the right. You're going through Romans, and then you're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and you're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And then the next one is a little bitty short one, is Galatians. So if you hit a letter, one of these letters with a big E on it, like Ephesians, you just back up. Galatians. If you've got the giant print Bible everybody can read, it's on page 1795. All right. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, well, no, we're going to start in verse 1. We'll get to 2. Chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Galatians, chapter 6. Won't everybody have a chance? Where are you? Okay. Galatians 6. I got to tell you, one of my favorite things in this place is people looking in their Bible trying to find these places and looking over and asking somebody, say, where are you? And somebody reaching over and helping. That's good stuff, guys. That's how we all learned it at one time. All right? Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you dump him, get rid of him, move away from him because he's bad news and all he can do is mess you up. That's right. That's wrong answer. Brother, if someone's caught in a sin, y'all were going, now what version is he reading? Yeah. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should read him the right act, make him feel guilty and kick him out. No. You should restore him gently. I didn't write it, y'all, but I thank God for it because there's some fellows who did that for me. And I hope that I spend the rest of my life doing the same thing for somebody else. It would have been, there was tons of folks that wanted their hands washed of me. There were tons of folks that wanted nothing to do with me. There's tons of folks that I was done. I mean, they just didn't. There was no reason for me to, for them to be around me and to care about me. But they did, and they restored me. Thank God for them. We need to be that way toward our brothers. Yeah, but I don't like what he did. I agree. God doesn't either. I don't like the way she acted. I guarantee you, I don't either. God doesn't either. But you restore them gently because they got caught in a sin. But watch yourselves so you also, because you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. Did you hear me? That's what Jesus said. Carry each other's burdens. Sometimes you got to pick up somebody's burden. Now, does that mean they don't have to worry about it? He said, verse 4, each one should take a test of his own actions and then he can take pride in themselves without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. So let's understand what he's saying. Who's responsible for carrying my load? Me. I'm responsible for carrying my load. I need to serious up, man up, focus my attention on Jesus, forgetting the mess I've made, focus on the solution, keep walking, thank God, ask God, trust God. I need to be taking care of my business, but are there times I'm going to need somebody to help me with that business? Yes. Now, does that become their responsibility? No. It comes their opportunity. So we carry each other's burdens now and again. So I'm to be devoted to you, to honor you, to carry your burden. All right, you keep going. Keep going. Look in the next book. You don't have to go far. Look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. I want you to look in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And we'll have to stop here because we got children next door and teachers that are ready to offer sacrifices. Living sacrifices. But look at Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness. Yeah, but you don't understand. I know. But I didn't write it. So it's not up to me to understand. The one who made us all, the one who loves us the most, the one who knows us the best, said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Get rid of it. That's his way of stop it. That's the way he is saying to stop it. Just stop it. You get rid of it. But be kind. Look at it. Be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's happened already in here. And I know it's happened in here. I've done it. But not just me. There's somebody in here I know. It's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. You're going to get. You cannot be around a bunch of people, especially that have all the twitches that we do, and not get your feelings hurt. It's going to happen. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get upset. You're going to think that nobody's caring, taking care of you. You're going to believe that nobody. You're going to get your feelings hurt. And 9 chances out of 4, I'm going to be the one that does it. And I'll hate that because I don't want to do that. But can we forgive each other? Can we be kind and compassionate to each other and forgive each other? Why? Christ forgave me. Why can't I forgive you? If Christ forgave me for all the mess I made and stuff, why can't I forgive you? Right? And be real honest, if I am, by the grace of God, going to go to heaven, if you don't forgive me, you're going to have a horrible time in heaven because I'm going to be sitting right there. So just let's take care of that right now, all right? Let's be kind to each other. Let's forgive each other. And let's help each other make it home. Those Reubenites and Gadites, they didn't have evil intentions. But when they decided they didn't want to go in the promised land, Moses and the Lord got their attention and said, you're not getting anything if you don't help us. And they said, we want to help you. We're going to go first. We'll make sure all you get taken care of before we come back and take care of ourselves. I'd sure like that to be the spirit of us. I'd like to be that the spirit of me for us. Let's do what we've got to do to help each other. Let's do whatever we've got to do to help each other. Being devoted to each other, honoring each other, forgiving each other, encouraging each other, serving each other, whatever it takes for us to help each other get there. Let's bear each other's burdens and get there, right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for these folks, their attention. I want to go home, God. I want to be at home. I want rest. But I don't want to just get there by myself. So help me be the kind of man, have the kind of wholeheartedness that will be devoted to my brothers, help carry their burdens, be kind and forgive. Make us that kind of church, please, God. And so work in us so that on that last day we are there and there's lots of folks with us there. Because we kept our promise and did what we promised to do for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all.